We now look to Brother Kevin for words of exhortation.
My dear brothers and sisters, and especially this morning, our new brother Ben. Ben had only been baptised for about an hour when he and I had our first disagreement. So I probably went home and sort of tried to find out, well, is he right or am I right? Because I said to him, I says, I've got you at last. Because over the years that Ben's been coming, I've said to him, every now and again, I'm going to be your conscience. Keep pricking at you to eventually get baptised. And obviously that day came last Thursday and here we are this Sunday. And I said, it's been a long 5 years, hasn't it? And he said, no, it's more like 10 years. I said, you've never been coming here for 10 years. I have. I said, I don't think so. So I went home and checked the records. Now, the way I did that was I simply got out the cards of the records of all the Brennan sisters and looked at Brother Keith Bicknell's card. Because I remember that however long it was, letters were sent out to various sort of children of Brennan sisters, and one was sent to Brother Keith as well, to come to a seminar here that we held in this room. And I knew that Keith had already been going on the monthly rambles at Grosvenor Road and had been talking to Ken and Doreen. So I checked on the record and Keith was re-fellowshipped in December 2010. So it was probably a little bit earlier in the year that we had these seminars and that's when Ben came. So it was, he's probably nearer on than I am. He was 8 years ago rather than the 5 or 6. So for 8 years, Ben's been coming along on Sundays, running into the hundreds, it's over 8 years, and done everything that we've done except for one thing, and that's partake of the bread and wine. He wasn't allowed to do that because he wasn't in covenant relationship. But now, thanks be to our Heavenly Father, he's able to enjoy for the first time today the immense privilege that it is to participate in the simplicity of eating a little bit of bread and drinking a little bit of wine. Because he knows, as we all do, what it actually means, what it represents, the symbology of it. And Brother Sam, in his baptismal talk, talked a bit about the symbology of the scriptures, how that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's not actually the Lamb of God, is he? But we use that symbology, which takes us back to the priesthood. So Ben's going to be able to join with all of us, brothers and sisters, for the very first time, and appreciating the depth of meaning behind the simplicity of what we do. But this day isn't just about Ben, is it? I mean, he knows that. It's about all of us, brothers and sisters. No matter how long we've been baptised, and for some of us it's a very, very long time. This isn't the first breaking of bread we've been to that we are able to partake of. For some of the more senior members, it's running into the thousands of times that we have done this. And yet, for me, when we come to do this, brothers and sisters, we need to appreciate it as if it is the very first time that we have done this, not the many hundreds, if not thousands of times, to appreciate the depth of meaning, the preciousness of what we do on a week by week basis. So perhaps each one of us, looking back in our lives in the truth, can actually say, well, let's just imagine this is the first time. What would it mean for me if it was the first time to be able to do this as we wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to return? The wonder of the privilege that we enjoy in being able to partake of this bread and wine. And it's because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, isn't it, brothers and sisters? That purpose that the Lord had, and he established a plan centered in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Through his faithfulness, becoming our Saviour and our King, we are able to do these things this morning. Can we open our Bibles, if you would please, to the 1st of Samuel, chapter 3. It was really interesting when we listened to Brother Dean read it from the version that Brother Dean had, how it's probably better put over, and in fact more accurate. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. We're into the story now of Samuel, aren't we? The boy, as it says in the version that Dean read. It says in authorised, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Eli was the priest with his sons. And the word of the Lord was precious or rare in those days. There was no open vision, or as Dean said, there was no widespread revolution. You see, the word of God was there, the law was there, but it was being neglected, it was being mishandled, primarily by Eli's two sons. But Eli wasn't the force or the strength that he should have been. That's why Samuel was going to be called by God, why he was given to Hannah, who was barren. And God was going to use Samuel to be the first proper prophet, it would seem to me, in the time of the judges. And the word of the Lord was precious and rare. It was there, but it wasn't being paid attention to. It's a bit like us, isn't it, brothers and sisters? You know, I haven't just got one Bible. I've probably got 20-odd Bibles on my bookshelves. And others in this meeting will have the same thing. But if it stays there, it's of no value. As precious as it is, it's not rare in the sense that we haven't got access to it. But if we don't open it and read it for ourselves, just simply to get the information that we can understand the plan and the purpose of God, then it's of no benefit to us, is it, brothers and sisters? So in those days, things weren't at all good. The law was there, but Eli and his sons, Eli the priest and his sons, had failed in their responsibility to faithfully guide the people. So the 12-year-old Samuel, as Josephus believes he is at this time, is there sent by God to remedy the situation. Just go back to the previous chapter, just to one verse, in 1 Samuel 2 verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favour both with the Lord and also with men. And if we know our Bibles, I'm sure we all do, our thoughts immediately think, here's one of those Bible echoes that we Christians always keep on about. This is exactly the same thing that was said about the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it? The same thing was said to him. We're going to come back to Samuel, but just go to Luke chapter 2. And it's one of the favourite thoughts, of many favourite thoughts that I have, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was constantly in prayer with his Heavenly Father, wasn't he? But he was also immensely aware of the Old Testament and its content, of what was happening. We see that in the temptations in the wilderness, don't we? How did Jesus deal with those 40 days of the trials, the tests, the temptations? It was because I know what happened all those centuries ago to the other Son of God, Israel. Luke chapter 2 and verse 39. And when they, that's Mary and Joseph, had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him, just like it was upon Samuel. Now his parents, that's the parents of Jesus, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, that's what I believe that Samuel was in the chapter we've left him, working as it were with Eli. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But we know the story, don't we? They'd lost the Son of God for 3 days and three nights, as Mary was going to lose the Son of God for another 3 days and three nights when he was crucified. And they found him eventually, I suspect, because they heard of the commotion that was going on in the temple. Verse 46, came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. you know, we've been beside ourselves with worry about where you are. We thought we'd lost you. We didn't know what happened to you. And it's not exactly the most sort of pleasant of answers, is it? In verse 49. Why have you been searching for me? Why have you been worrying? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. There's our Samuel again. You see, Jesus was beginning to do what Samuel was going to do, which was to right the wrongs of the priesthood of his day. The word of the Lord was there, but for 400 years there had been no open revelation. And the Lord was going to come along now, his cousin John the Baptist having prepared the way, to reveal to the people what it was really all about. And that's what Samuel was going to do. Samuel was the prophet, he was the priest, and the maker of kings. So let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you can please, brothers and sisters. First Samuel chapter 3. And we'll pick up at verse 19. Because we've read the story this morning through Dean, haven't we, about what happened with Eli and Samuel. And verse 19 tells us, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, just like we read in the previous chapter. Twice, have you read twice about Jesus in Luke's gospel? Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Isn't that a wonderful little picture in our minds? Because words don't fall to the ground, but we understand what was being said here. He was so attentive to the word, he wasn't going to waste any of it. He wasn't going to say, oh, I'm not really interested in that bit, or that bit's superfluous. It's all about the word of the Lord. And that's one of the things that Sam emphasised last Thursday to Ben and to all of us who were there. It's all about our attention and desire to want to know what the word of the Lord has for us, the message can give to us. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. God had raised him up, as Moses said that God would raise up a prophet like unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So the word of the Lord was indeed precious to this young boy of 12, to Samuel. And indeed it should be precious to each one of us, brothers and sisters. Now during the course of Sam's talk, he talked about quite a bit about the cities of refuge. And he challenges to name all six of them. I don't suppose again any of us could perhaps do that. Perhaps the one that we do remember, the one that he did mention, and we are familiar with in terms of name, is that of Hebron. That was one of the cities of refuge, and he gave us the story of the person who accidentally killed someone, how they could run to the city of refuge, and they had to stay there till the high priest died. Can I take it back to Joshua chapter 14? Because in the course of talking about that, he mentioned one of my favourite characters in Scripture, the man Caleb. Joshua chapter 14. We all know the story of the children of Israel, the Exodus under Moses, and Joshua and Caleb, the two faithful spies who believed what God had said to them about the land. The other 10 did as well, but it didn't have an effect upon them. They agreed, all 12 of them, that the land was everything God described it to be, but 10 of them lacked the faith to go into the land. And there's a lesson for us, brothers and sisters. We know that the kingdom is coming and God has called us to be there in the kingdom. If only we can believe that. Irrespective of all our failings and our faults, God has dealt with that through the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to listen and believe and remain faithful. Joshua 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Remember the thing the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. He had not forgotten. He had not let those words fall to the ground, brothers and sisters. 45 years ago, as long as I've been in the truth, this man remembered the words that God spoke to Moses, the man of God, about himself and about Joshua. You can go into the land. You've done everything right, but they didn't go into the land. And those words were indelibly marked in the mind of this man, Caleb. They weren't going to fall to the ground, brothers and sisters. They were precious to him. Irrespective of all that went on in the wilderness, through no fault of his own, Caleb kept in his mind, I'm going into the promised land because God has said, I will go into the promised land. Those words are so precious to him. Well, what were the words? Just go back to Numbers chapter 14. We're coming back to Joshua 14 in a moment. Just go back to Numbers 14. There are a number of places these words or words similar to it are mentioned. But Numbers 14, this is the actual incident, as it were. Numbers 14 and verse 21. This is what the Lord said. As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. That wasn't Samuel, was it? The word was precious to him. Whenever he heard him and God spoke to him. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, another attitude of mind, hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And wouldn't that be music to the ears of Caleb? Wonderful to hear. But it wouldn't happen for another 45 years. Pray God we're not here for another 45 years. But we do not know, do we, brothers and sisters? Let's go back then to Joshua chapter 14 to pick up the words of this man Caleb. We read verse 6, whereas Joshua now, who has risen to prominence, been schooled to take over from Moses, whereas Caleb wasn't. You see, Caleb could have been so bitter, couldn't he? He could have said, it's not fair. Why have they chosen Joshua and not me? I was just as faithful as Joshua. I was one of the two. Why is Joshua? Caleb didn't think like that. If I can say without upsetting anybody, perhaps that might be what will happen when we have the ballot for the ABs, brothers and sisters. It's all about what we can do, where we are to serve. And Caleb got on with it, as it were, as Joshua rose to prominence. But look what he says now in verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. That's exactly what the Lord said 45 years ago. Because you have wholly followed me. Those words were indelibly imprinted in his mind. They were so precious to him. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. There's only one or two in this room older than that. most of us are much younger than 85, aren't we, brothers and sisters? And when you look back at the life of Caleb, there's not a lot to recommend it, is there? 40 years he's a slave, has to do what he's told every day. No seaside holidays down at Eilat or anything like that. 40 years he's been wandering in the wilderness, and 5 years he's been fighting battles. Now he's 85 and he wants his inheritance. But look at his attitude in verse 11. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the giants were there. That's what the Anakims were. The cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. We can take the spiritual lesson there. We can drive out the giants in our lives if we let the Lord be with us through his word. Because the word of the Lord is precious. And so Joshua blessed him and gave Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, one of the cities of refuge, for his inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. Kirjath simply just means city. Arba is the name of the city. Was a great man. Arba was a great man among the Anakim. The land had rest from war. And Arba means strength of Baal. And Baal means the master or the possessor. So the whole ethos around it is, this is sin, and it's been conquered by Caleb because of his faith. Ah, but the strength of Baal, the master, the possessor, that's what sin is. It's our master, our possessor. But through that which we are going to do very shortly in Ben for the first time, we have no fear of sin. Perfect love casteth out fear. We only look to that which the Lord God has done for each one of us. Let's just finally go to Proverbs chapter 3. Because again, that's where Sam took us to. I'm hoping that some of these thoughts might sort of gel in the mind of our brother Ben, as well as ourselves, with that which we heard Sam say on Thursday. And here's the exhortation for brother Ben. He's heard these things many, many times before, because he's been to this meeting so many, many times before. But today is different, because he can partake of the bread and the wine. Verse 1 of Proverbs 3. Here's the father speaking to his son. And he says, my son, forget not my law. Don't be like Hophni, Phinehas, Eli and the others. Be like Samuel. But let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. This is the only way to escape death, to have eternal life. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Just like Caleb did when he heard those words from the Lord. And he kept them there for 45 years. He kept them in his heart, just like Mary, the mother of Jesus, did. Back in Luke 2. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. We're back with Samuel again, aren't we? We're back with the Lord Jesus Christ again. But this is us as well. We will find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that's what Ben has done. It's taken 5 years. Well, a lot while before that as well, when he used to go to the Sunday school. But he has responded. He is now in the family of God. He, with all of us in this room, look forward to the age to come when we shall be changed and we shall be transformed and we shall be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all because of what we are about to do now in the simplicity of this bread and wine, in remembering the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ.